puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
No matter where you go, anytime on the Weekend Morning Show, we will bring you Gordon Goldsborough. He joins me now for Abandoned Manitoba. He's from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the clue from last week.
I said we would be investigating a link between the late artist Andy Warhol and the city of Portage-la-Prairie.
Okay, so what are we talking about?
Andy Warhol was a fairly noted American artist. He did other things. He wrote books. He did plays. He looked quite a bon vivant. And well, in fact, one of the most famous things about him, and people may recall, is he coined the phrase 15 minutes of fame, you know,
right,
where everyone was going to enjoy 15 minutes of fame. Now, as far as I know, he never actually visited Portage,
okay,
so it's not that. But you have to kind of explore it a little further. He's best known for a collection of paintings that he did in 1962, where he had 32 paintings of Campbell's Soup.
Yes, that's right. Everyone knows that.
That's
picture.
Right. I mean, that's one of his most famous works. He made one painting for each of the types of soup that Campbell's made at that time. They made 32 types of soup. He made 32 paintings. And so even today, when people say Andy Warhol, they think Campbell's Soup. Well, there's the connection, because up until 1990, Portage-la-Prairie was the home of one of two production facilities for Campbell's Soup in Canada. The other one is just outside of Toronto.
There we go.
Yeah. So there's a connection. Campbell's Soup.
It's Andy a connection. Warhol. I'll take it.
That's right. So in January of 1957, the premier of Manitoba, a fellow named Douglas Campbell, he announced that this U.S.-based company, Campbell Soup, had investigated sites across the country and had chosen Manitoba for a new soup manufacturing plant. And ultimately, they chose a site on the west side of Portage-la-Prairie, right on the edge of the city. They engaged a Winnipeg-based architectural firm, and they started designing and building an enormous plant. It was a 125,000 square feet plant. And they began it in mid-1958. It took them about 2 years, a little longer than they had originally anticipated. They had said when they first announced it, they were going to employ over 350 people from Portage, and that would have been, you know, a major economic boon for the city. In the end, when they finally opened it in early 1960, that it actually only employed 170 people, but you know, that's still a pretty big employment for a place the size of Portage. So 1960, it became one of two places in Canada to make soup. And at that time, the company was making 21 kinds of soup, and the plant in Portage made 17 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one that people probably think of when they think Campbell's Soup, they probably think of the tomato soup. Well, this one, unfortunately, I was told, did not make tomato soup, mainly because there just weren't enough tomatoes being grown in Manitoba to supply it. So that they made that in Toronto, but they made, say, 17 other kinds. But what's interesting about all this story, and what fascinates me particularly as a child of the 60s, is that one of the things they focused on was the convenience aspect of soup. You know, you could open a can, you could pour it in a pot, you could heat it up, and within a short time, you were eating. You know, this was the era of convenience foods. You know, we started having things like TV dinners, you know, and well, in fact, not only did they make soup, they also made frozen food products. Mm-hmm. They made macaroni and spaghetti. Again, all designed for a busy lifestyle that was becoming common in the 1960s. So by all accounts, they did very, very well. You know, through the 60s, they expanded this plant. They added a freezer warehouse building. One of the things I recall as a kid, they built a mushroom growing plant where they could grow mushrooms.
Okay.
Because, of course, one of their signatures was cream of mushroom soup. And I remember my parents going to the plant, because you could buy mushrooms, just regular bags of mushrooms, and we'd go and buy a big bag of mushrooms because our family liked mushrooms. So the plant, by all accounts, was very successful. Unfortunately, in August of 1989, so it had been operating by that point to about 29 years, the company announced that they were going to close it in December of 1990. So in other words, after 30 years of continuous operation in Portage, they were going to close it, and they were going to transfer all of the remaining production capacity to the much larger Toronto plant.
Do we know why they wanted to close it?
Well, I know at the time, two of Manitoba's political leaders, two of the opposition parties, charged that it was a direct casualty of something that had happened just about a year and a half earlier. So they announced in August of 1989 that we're going to close. Well, in January of 1988, Canada and the United States had signed a Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement. The idea being is that goods could go on either side of the border without any restriction. And so two of Manitoba's political leaders charged that it was this free trade agreement that resulted in simply too much competition for this company, and that's what it did in the company. Well, company officials were a little more cagey than that. They said that, yes, it probably was some increased competition. They said competition from soup makers in Asia, in Europe, in the United States. But they also said it was because of static sales. And I'm not sure I believe that entirely, because they said they could consolidate all of the remaining capacity at their Toronto plant. Well, if that was true, well, why did they build the plant in Manitoba in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it implied that they really had declining sales. And maybe it's because by this time, we're in the 90s now, people weren't quite as interested in soup as a convenience food. There maybe was a lot more options for convenience. So they think the declining interest. But you know, this whole thing about free trade and the effects on industry are fascinating because, well, listeners may recall that some time ago we talked about the closure of a big sugar plant here in Winnipeg. And that closed in 1997, soon after the North American Free Trade Agreement was signed. And of course, NAFTA is something that we are thinking about today.
Yes.
Because we are in the process right now of renegotiating that agreement. So one has to wonder if perhaps there might be other corporate closures in the aftermath of a renegotiated NAFTA.
History repeating itself.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening with the building now, the plant?
Well, it's been closed then for 27 years since it closed in 1990. And some parts of this enormous factory, it was at one time five buildings that were sort of interconnected. And one of those buildings was sort of an administrative offices. Well, the four buildings that were used as sort of the manufacturing plant, parts of them are still being used. It's used by storage, by a number of local businesses around Portage. Part of one of it is being used as a manufacturing plant for building products. There's a home building products company that has its sort of manufacturing plant in part of it. But I'm told that a large part of it is simply vacant. And then the cafeteria part of the building is vacant. And I was told recently that it had been used to film a zombie movie. But the
wow, I love that. Who knew?
But the administrative offices themselves, they're quite overgrown. In fact, when I peeked in the window, I could see moss growing all over the lobby. So it's obviously not being used.
Yeah, moss flavored soup, anyone? Just kidding. All right, excellent. Thank you, Gordon.
You're welcome.
What's next week's hint?
Well, people in Winnipeg may know that when you used to be able to drive north on Sturgeon Road, you could go all the way from Portage Avenue up to the Perimeter Highway. Now, because of the Centreport development, you can't do that anymore. But north of the Centreport area, there is along Sturgeon Road on the west side, this rather unusual concrete forest. And we're going to talk about that next week.
Concrete forest. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.